Welcome back to the Saturday Splash with Maddie and Lynn.
Hello.
As promised, we're going to talk about what you should be doing in your garden right now.
I want to know. So last year, I started my first ever garden. And by garden, I mean I had some containers and I grew things in them.
Containers are good. What did you grow?
I grew tomatoes, pole beans, zucchini, and something else that was very memorable. I can't remember.
Dead air. Was it egg? Did you grow eggplants? Didn't you have peppers or something?
Peppers. That's what it was. Yeah, I had three different kinds of peppers. There we go.
They were super memorable. So.
Yeah.
If you want.
That was a long time ago. So anyway, so I have my pot garden there, all my little pots, but I wanted to know so this year I was planning like a real live in the ground and or raised bed garden. And I know that you're the expert.
I am a gardening expert. I've been gardening for 2 years now. So, okay.
Legit.
Yes, that's right. I have a farm at my house, and my farm is my 2 4x4 foot raised beds. And I can call myself a farm because somebody actually paid for produce out of it. Can you believe it? I didn't want them to pay, but they did. So now I'm a farm.
Sweet. Yay. All right. Eat local.
All right. So, big thing that you can be doing right now because. I mean, obviously the ground is going to be frozen, although you would never know it based on the temperatures like this past week and this next week in the 50s and 60s. It's supposed to be cold at this time. So one of the things that we need to look at is when the last frost date is. And in Greenville County, last frost date is April 15th. So we want to make sure we're not doing summery plants, things like your tomatoes, your peppers, like that. Those don't actually go into the ground until after that date because otherwise
they get cold.
They get cold.
They freeze.
So the best thing to be doing right now in your garden, if you had a garden, and I guess your pots wouldn't really be considered this.
They're empty.
They're empty. But if like in my garden, the big thing to do for me is mulch right now and make sure that the soil is kept ready to go. I was going to plant winter vegetables like greens and stuff like that. And then it occurred to me when I actually paid very close attention to the sun pattern. We have a 2-story house and we planted our garden conveniently within, you know, several feet of the house, and our house faced north south. So it was on the north side of the house, which is great in the summer. Wintertime, not so much, because why? Our house, we have like 1 hour of sun.
Oh, yeah. And you really need a good, you know, in South Carolina anyway, a good 6 hours of sunlight to have a successful, hardy garden.
Yeah, about
at least 6 hours.
At least 6 hours. You want more than that in the summer. So job number one will be checking your yard, taking a look at what the patterns of the sunlight are, and figuring out the best location for your garden.
All right.
So that's job number one. Job number two, well, I guess it goes right along with number one, is figure out how large of a garden you want. And if you're going to do, I'm guessing you're going to do a raised bed garden in your yard.
Probably. That's what I'm leaning towards.
So I've had so much luck with the square foot gardening method. And I know you've heard about that, but for people who haven't, we'll just go over it. So basically, it's a gardening method where you section your garden off into 1 by 1 foot plots. And it was like a revolutionary thing. If when you garden, one of the big things that's like so terrible about it, or people hate it so much, is like you plant all the seeds and then you have to thin all the seeds and then you have to do a lot of weeding. Well, if, for instance, you can plant 4 plants in a 1 by 1 foot square, revolutionary. Plant wow. 4 seeds.
Is it one of your plants? Yes, keep it. No, pull it.
Is it in the pattern that you planted it in? Yeah.
I love a grid system for gardens, for roads. Oh, it's just good.
Grids, they make my little OCD heart shine because, you know, like having messy stuff, it doesn't work for me. So what I have is I have 2 4x4 foot gardens. And in the square foot method, a 4 foot by 4 foot garden is really great. You don't want to get more than 4 feet on any one side because you want to be able to lean in and reach all your plants.
Be able to harvest.
So if it's 4 feet wide, you can get 2 feet on either side very easily. So let's presume, let's just go ahead and assume you're going to start with a 4x4 garden.
All right, I can do that.
So then the next thing you'll want to, so you've located your spot for it and everything, and it's still kind of too early to be worrying about getting your soil put together. But when it's time for your soil, if you use the square foot gardening method, what you'll want to do is you'll want to get 5 different types of compost. If you're not composting your own, but you're composting, right?
I have a worm bin. Yes. So it's a small amount of compost. It probably won't suffice for the whole garden. I mostly use it for houseplants.
So yeah, let's just say if you were a composter and you had enough compost from your own composter, that would probably be fine. You wouldn't have to get 5 different kinds. But the reason that you get 5 different kinds is so you get a wide range of nutrition. So I've used mushroom compost. I've used organic vegetable compost, worm castings, which are super awesome for square foot gardening. Chicken compost and cow manure. So
all right.
And you
sounds healthy.
Yeah, mix those with peat moss and with vermiculite, and that keeps the soil nice and light. But that's a little bit farther down the road. What you want to be doing right now is figuring out what the heck are you going to plant. So
what do you want to eat?
What do you eat? Because you should only plant what you eat.
Yeah, I think maybe people don't always get that concept. They just want to go and plant everything that they can think of, and you should really just be planting what you, your friends, your family want to eat.
Yeah, you look at it, and you often see pictures of people with gardens, and you might see like rows of cabbages, and then you think about it, and you're like, how on earth we're a 2-person family? How would we ever in a million years even eat like 6 cabbages? Because many times, this is another thing in the planning, you plant it all at one time and it's all ready to harvest at one time. And then what happens?
You have no more food.
No, everyone in your office gets cabbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is both good and bad, you know.
Yeah, so. And you know, pay attention to how much of a product that a plant will yield. So for example, cherry tomatoes, you may only need 1 plant of cherry tomatoes, whereas you might need 4 plants for your beefsteak tomatoes.
Yeah, let me just tell you about cherry tomatoes.
Oh, you only need 1 plant.
You need 1 plant of cherry tomatoes. I cannot even begin to tell you how many cherry tomatoes came off of our 1 cherry tomato plant.
It's just insane.
And they were beautiful little golden cherry tomatoes.
They're delicious. Pop them right in your mouth.
Yeah. And then so last year in one of our gardens, we had 3 we did heirloom tomato varieties because that's interesting to me, is to try different types and not just do a generic beefsteak tomato.
So what makes an heirloom an heirloom?
They're old. They're seeds that have not that have not been really modified, I think, for better growth. I mean, okay, for instance, like we did, there was one called a hillbilly tomato, and we grew these huge giant tomatoes from it, and it's an heirloom seed, much like your heirloom furniture might be. You know, it's been passed up generation to generation, and it's not been bred for a specific characteristic necessarily. Like your beefsteak tomatoes, they're bred to have a thicker skin, and they're bred for size. And sometimes what you lose in that is flavor. So some of these heirloom tomatoes, some are tart, some are acidic, some are sweet,
you just get such a wide variety.
Yeah.
You know, you might get, 4 or 5 different kinds at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Oh, go to the farmer's market during the summer. You're going to have lots of heirlooms. They are so good.
And
they taste better too.
And in the planning stages now, you think about that and you have the opportunity to grow things from seeds, by the way, because you think about it. A whole package of seeds for, you know, I don't even know what it would be. Let's say tomatoes, for instance. You get a package of cherry tomato seeds. 1 seed grows a plant that feeds you for the entire summer. And, you know, your package of seeds, share them with your friends, you know? I mean, a package of seeds could be $2.99 and you wind up with tons of tomatoes off of it, you know, not okay, maybe not tons literally, but certainly hundreds of pounds.
Yeah. And on kind of on that note too, you mentioned when everything starts blooming and producing at once, well, can you stagger these? So maybe there's a window for planting, so I can plant half my tomato plants at the beginning of the window and half my tomato plants at the end?
You can. And with tomatoes, the good thing about those is that they'll flower and bloom and grow. There are two different types of tomatoes, and one flowers, blooms, and grows all at once, and then the other ones kind of stagger through the season. So that one's not so bad. But the thing that I learned about last year was greens and lettuces. We planted them all in the spring, and it was great, and I had like 12 squares of greens, and then I had 12 bushels of lettuce and mustard greens and spinach to eat. So it would have been better if I would have planted, you know, two seeds of each thing 1 week and then two the next week. And then I could have grown in succession for the whole entire, you know, the whole season.
Yeah. And Clemson Extension has a really great growing chart on their website that gives you the window of when you should be planting things. So if you want to plant it earlier or later, you can plan for that.
And I will tell you that if you would like to grow snow peas, they're called snow peas for a reason, because you plant them in February. So that's only a couple of weeks away that you want to be planting snow peas.
Ooh, I want to plant snow peas.
And greens generally grow better in the spring. So you can plan your garden so that some things grow in the spring. And then by the time those are finished growing, then you've got seeds coming in for the summer. And you can also start planting seedlings from these. You can create seedlings at home from the seeds. So.
Oh, yeah. And plant those.
Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Uh-huh. So that's really what we want to do. So what are you going to grow this summer, Maddie? Tell me.
I think I'm going to try some snow peas and greens in the next month or so.
Yeah, snow peas. We grew one plant last year. This year I'm going to grow like five,
because peas. They're so expensive at the grocery store too.
And pea tendrils, delicious.
Ooh, yes. All right, this is another episode of Saturday Splash. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.